But, you know, there's a whole list of options, you know, ranging from citizenship in the Caribbean to citizenship in the European Union, you know, through the country of Malta, which, of course, gives you settlement rights across the European Union. So having access to those member states is attractive to some people. Others just want to have citizenship somewhere, just in case.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. It's 4/10/24. Just mentioning that we're a third of the way through April, and we've already been through an eclipse, multiple earthquakes, civil unrest from coast to shining, from sea to shining sea. And you're wondering, maybe it's time to get out of Dodge. Christopher Willis is here with us now. Christopher, you are, first of all, a big fan of FSN, and we appreciate that. And, you're an expert on overseas, obtaining citizenship and residency overseas. We're thrilled to have you. As an American, where would be the first place I should look to think about becoming a citizen of?
Hey, Gary, great to be here, and thanks for having me. That's a great question. It's kind of an open-ended question because it does depend on the, you know, each person's own motivations, their timelines, et cetera. And you don't necessarily have to leave the U.S. It's more having an option to leave the U.S. just in case you're not happy with the direction things are going. Certainly, as we build up into November, there's a lot of nervousness from a lot of people and wondering, you know, what the situation is going to be, you know, in the next 6 months, 9 months, 5 years, et cetera. But, you know, there's a whole list of options, you know, ranging from citizenship in the Caribbean to citizenship in the European Union, you know, through the country of Malta, which, of course, gives you settlement rights across the European Union. So having access to those member states is attractive to some people. Others just want to have citizenship somewhere, just in case. And then there's also residency programs. You know, Portugal has been extremely popular with Americans who are looking to have status somewhere where if they wanted to go and hang out for a little while, they can, but it's not necessarily getting them citizenship, although they would be on a pathway to citizenship should they do enough time in the country.
Okay, so explain residency versus citizenship, because I know many of you out there don't really know about that.
Yeah, it's a great question. So residency would be like having a green card in the U.S. So you have permission to stay essentially indefinitely as long as you renew it on a regular basis. And if you spend enough time, you can graduate to full citizenship. So the main difference by being a citizen is you have the right to vote and you can hold a passport. So for many people, it's having the passport or the citizenship that allows them to get a passport, which is sort of the ultimate prize or the holy grail. Now, typically, you know, for Americans, passport is a very strong passport, recognized internationally, not a big deal. But then, you know, when the pandemic hit and in full swing and there was a travel ban on Americans, didn't matter who you were. If you're only on an American passport, you weren't going getting on a plane to go to Europe or to go to Singapore or to go to the UAE or anything like that. So, you know, Americans had their wings clipped and were well and truly grounded. And a lot of people we speak to were saying, hey, we were exposed here. So we've got to fill this gap and get another option just in case something like this happens again. And so that real life example really, woke up a lot of people and said, hey, we need this. Because traditionally, you know, the citizenship programs were for people who were coming from countries that had very poor travel. So you're Nigerian, you're South African, you're Lebanese, you know, you're Pakistani, people like that. They always had to get visas to go everywhere. So for these people, it really was life-changing because they could now just hop on a plane and, you know, go to these places that it was challenging for them to go to in the past. So I guess it goes back to my original point. It does depend on the needs and the motivations of the people. For Americans now, it's, you know, whether you spin it as a non-traditional insurance policy or a plan B, you know, it's just something that's now becoming a necessity, you know, for the wealthy elite.
Right. Okay. So what's the cost involved?
Well, it varies. So Caribbean citizenship at the moment starting at 100,000 US. If you go down a donation route, or there's real estate options as well. And if people wanted to say divest out of the US, they could invest in one of these countries and, you know, get that twofer, you know, the two for one, get an asset, but also use that asset to qualify for economic citizenship. So some people are looking at it from that angle because there's also a lifestyle element. Many Americans are familiar with the Caribbean, geographically very close. So, you know, they may want to go and have a beach holiday, you know, when the weather gets cold, if you're out from up north, for example. So that's the starting point, is around 100,000 US, but I'll put a little asterisk right there because there was a recent memorandum of agreement signed by the five countries in the Caribbean that operate a citizenship by investment program, where they're looking to increase the minimum from 100,000 to 200,000 US. And that's going to be, they've earmarked June 30th of this year as the effective date for this to happen. So although it's 100,000 now, that could double very quickly. So if people are interested, they should start looking at this quite quickly because it will get more expensive.
Okay, so how hard is all the paperwork to do?
Well, the paperwork, it's, if you're applying for citizenship, it's still there. They've got to know about you, right? So it's the usual stuff of civil documents, you know, birth certificates, marriage certificates, etc., police checks, source of wealth, source of funds is a key part, just to make sure everything was legally acquired, and a variety of application forms so they can understand you as an applicant. Because the due diligence is quite thorough, multi-tiered, including obviously, you know, apart from public domain stuff, it's third-party independent due diligence firms are going to verify the information you provide. And then you've also got to have, you know, your Interpol, Europol, sanctions list, watch list, all these international verifications will be done as well, just to ensure that you're the right type of person who's coming to the islands.
Yeah, we don't want any sketchy people coming over, right?
No, exactly. Exactly. And just to the second part of your question, you know, the cost of the Caribbean is there, but, you know, somewhere like Malta for a single applicant is around about €1 million. But the difference being, you're getting European citizenship in about 18 months. I think we can comfortably say that's a higher value citizenship than that of the Caribbean. And or you could go down the Portugal route, which would be €500,000, but it's going to take about 8 years before you'd be able to become a citizen of Portugal. So, you know, it's like most things in life, you get what you pay for, right? So if you're looking for European citizenship quickly, you're looking at the €1 million price point. If you're happy to wait, it's half of that. And if you're happy with Caribbean as your country of citizenship, then it's 100,000 to start with.
Okay. So if we look in Asia, are there any opportunities in Asia?
There's not a lot, and certainly in terms of citizenship, there are some residence programs. They tend to be used more by Asian nationals who are looking to, you know, very much like in South America. You know, a lot of South Americans want to go to Uruguay or Paraguay, for example. So they want to sort of stay within their region or their continent. But for the American, we haven't seen a big uptick of interest from Americans looking to go to Asia.
Okay. What about when we look at Eastern Europe, maybe that's not part of the EU? Are there opportunities there?
Yeah, there's a good example would be in the country of Montenegro, which is, trying to ascend to become a full EU member state. And they did have a citizenship program, but they had some pressures from the European Union saying, look, if you want to ascend, you're going to have to make sure that this program is done and finished. We're seeing some interest from some other countries in Eastern Europe, but nothing has come to light yet, but there could be some movement on that later this year.
Okay, interesting. Any other countries, EU countries? What about Moldova or...
Moldova did have a program, but that sort of died a death very quickly. Greece is very popular, but again, that's just a residency program that does not have a pathway to citizenship. But Spain is becoming more and more popular. The Spanish program is actually has lower requirements if you're a Latin American national or your parents are Latin nationals. So anywhere, basically Mexico South, if you have that heritage, you can benefit from a two-year residency instead of 10 years before being eligible for full Spanish citizenship. But they're also going through a few revisions to their program at the moment. So we may see some changes towards the end of this year as it relates to qualifying for Spain.
There's always a but with these programs, Christopher. You know, there's always an if or whatever.
Yeah, the joys of governments, you know, change of governments. You know, in Portugal, they had a lot of pressure for affordable housing for the local Portuguese, and that's what changed their program. And we're seeing a bit of that in Spain now as well. So, you know, immigration, no matter what country, it's a political football, right? And so you know, that's never going to change. And again, depending if there's a change of government, that can impact their immigration programs as well.
Okay. What are some of the pitfalls when you go start doing this?
Well, I mean, it's the benefits certainly outweigh any risk here, because, you know, in you either don't have to spend, once you're a citizen, let's say in the Caribbean, you don't have to spend any time there. So the passport's in your back pocket, you use it as and when, if at all. Some people just like having the peace of mind, knowing that it's there. You know, the adage of it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it, right? If you're looking to jurisdiction, you know, the Americans just still tax on your citizenship, right? So if you were a Canadian or a Brit, there's maybe a tax play here for you as well, but, you know, not as much for the American client. So it really depends on, you know, lifestyle choices, knowing you can get somewhere should you need it. Now, I'll give you an example. So, you know, during the pandemic again, there was someone who had a, you know, multi-million-dollar property on the Caribbean island of Antigua and Barbuda. And he thought, I'll just go hang out there. But he never took out citizenship. He just used to keep coming and going as a visitor. But because the Caribbean islands, like many places, closed their borders to non-citizens, he couldn't access his property. So it's just, again, many, many examples why there's more benefits to having this. And you're enhancing your freedoms, right? This is really what it's all about. It's giving yourself more options should you need them. And again, this is where more and more people are realizing it's becoming a necessity.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Hey, people want to find out more about you, about how you can help them. Is there a place you can go, Christopher?
Yeah, the best thing is go to our website, latitudeworld.com. My details are on there under the team page. Information on all the different programs that are available, and then we can take some time with you to understand, you know, what you're looking to do, understand your needs, and then we can make some recommendations of what would be the best fit.
All right, excellent. Hey, really appreciate you coming on. If you've got a question for Christopher or myself, email address is always kl@carrylutz.com. We've got a link to the show notes for this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and you just have to go there, click it, and while you're there, sign up for your free newsletter. Christopher, appreciate you coming on. Been a pleasure. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Kerry. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.